Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Poor St. Thomas, from this one event in our Gospel reading, he seems to have earned the nickname that he has had for a long, long time, Doubting Thomas. Not known for his faithful confession of Christ, but known by the nickname Doubting Thomas. But in this very story where Thomas gets this nickname, Doubting Thomas, we actually also have an example of faith from Thomas. Perhaps we should change his nickname from Doubting Thomas to Believing Thomas. Now, that isn't to say that Thomas always believed. It's apparent from this story that Thomas not only doubted, he not only said, well, maybe what I'm hearing isn't true. Maybe Jesus really is not risen from the dead. But rather, he actually says that he will never believe unless he puts his hand into the mark of the nails and his hand into the side. Let's see what happened. Well, on the evening of that first day of the week, when Jesus rose from the dead, that Easter Sunday, the disciples are gathered in a room, in a locked room, hiding out for fear. Not fear of COVID-19, but fear of the Jews. And Jesus appears there bodily in their midst. He announces peace to them. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. He gives them the authority to forgive sins and to withhold forgiveness. But Thomas isn't there. And then the next week, Jesus appears again to the disciples, and Thomas is there. Now, Thomas, in the meantime, when he heard this, had said that unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. And Jesus, when he does appear to Thomas with the other disciples that following week, he invites Thomas to place his hands into his side and into the mark of the nails. And we don't have any record here of whether Thomas actually did that. Doesn't say in our text. But we do know that Jesus invited him to do so, and Jesus told him, do not disbelieve, but believe. You see, it was by the word of Jesus that Thomas then came to faith. Not because Thomas had seen enough evidence, by his own reason or strength he came to believe, but because Jesus spoke and called him to faith, and Thomas, by the power of God, came to faith. As Scripture points out, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so too, Thomas could not respond with his wonderful confession, my Lord and my God, had it not been for the Word of God, working on him and calling him to faith. It was all God's work that Thomas went from unbelief, not just doubt, but blatant unbelief and rejection of Jesus' resurrection, and rejection of the word of the apostles who proclaimed to him what had happened. He went from that unbelief to belief, to a confession of Jesus, all by the word of Jesus. And so Thomas responds then in this wonderful confession, my Lord and my God. But what's the big deal with all this? He just believed that Jesus rose from the dead, right? He became convinced that the resurrection was truly an event that happened in history. Just like someone being convinced that the Americans landed on the moon. No, the faith that Thomas confesses here is far more than just what we call a historical faith. Confessing a historical fact that happened in the past. What Thomas is confessing here is that Jesus is his Lord and his God. And let's unpack that and understand why this is so important. To call someone your Lord is to say that they are your master, that they call the shots in your life, that you want to live to please them. And also to call someone God is to say that this person is the one who made us, who created the world, who has all-powerful, all-knowing. Thomas confesses Jesus to be his Lord and his God. Not just a Lord and a God. Not just some Lord over some other people, or a God who is one God among others, but his Lord and his God. And we must confess the same. And what does that look like for us here in the 21st century? To confess Jesus as my Lord is to confess that Jesus is in charge of my life. He determines how I spend my time, how I interact with others, how the schedule of my week is laid out. That means that I may probably need to say no to some other things for the sake of Jesus. I may need to give up things, say, too bad, I can't go to that event or practice because I go to church on Sundays, because I gather with the rest of the body of Christ around the body of Christ. I make it my priority to hear and read God's word each day. I make it my priority to pray each day. I make it my priority to live my life in accordance with God's word, even when it means that I must acknowledge and confess my sin. Even when it means that I may not be able to do all the things that I want. But Thomas also says of Jesus, not only that Jesus is my Lord, but he says that Jesus is my God. Thomas is saying that this Jesus is not an ordinary person, but is God himself in the flesh. That he is the one who created him, who sustains him, who made him, and who cares for him. And Thomas is saying that he will not have another God over this Jesus who stands before him. And that this Jesus is the way in which he knows God. And we are to confess the same. Because Scripture says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. If he's the image of the invisible God, this is the way that we see and know God, is in Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified on the cross. It also means something else. If we can say that God is our God, we should also be saying with that, that he is reconciled to us. And the only way that he is reconciled to us is by the death of Jesus on the cross. That Jesus is the way that we become right with God, so that our sins are forgiven, so that we are no longer enemies of God, but now we are children of God. And now we live under our Lord in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. All because Jesus Christ, the one who appeared to Thomas and the other disciples, whose hands were pierced, whose side was pierced, this one lived a perfect life in our place. He died the death that we deserve to die in our place, suffered the punishment we should have suffered for all the wrongs that we have done. And because of him, the righteous anger and wrath of God was satisfied. And he fully paid for it and rose from death on the third day on Easter. And by that says that all of our sins are paid for. And we confess him as our Lord, as our Master, who has bought us with his precious blood. Just as he bought Thomas and the other disciples. And he is our God. He is the one who cares for us and loves us. This is the way that we know God. And this is the way that we are reconciled with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we may live forever with him. So that we, just as Jesus was raised, may be raised also on the last day. He is truly our Lord and our God. Doubting Thomas doesn't meet with the disciples that first night after Jesus rises from the dead. And he is an example of blatant unbelief and rejection of Jesus' resurrection. But then Jesus appears to him. And by his word, Jesus calls him to faith. And Thomas confesses, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus comes in the gathered congregation. When he comes in his word, and he comes in his sacrament. And in this he shows that he has died for us and for our sins. And by this, and through his ministers, he says, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." And we poor sinners, who often have made other things our Lord and our God, who have trusted in our money and our finances, our family and our friends, the doctors and government, to be the ones who determine how we live and what we do, we repent of our sins. We repent of believing that these things are our Lord's. These are the ones that we must please. These are the ones that call the shots. We repent of that. We are sorry for that. And we trust in Jesus. And we confess with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." And this Lord and this God is the only Lord and God who will care for us forever. Everything else in this world will pass away. But he lives, and he cares, and he provides. And he, because of his life, death, and resurrection, will raise all who have been baptized into him and confess his name on the last day. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.